Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 4 of the Triple Jump podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
Didn't do the last name this week.
No.
I thought that would throw you again. And it's a good thing I didn't, because you just, like a speeding train.
Well,
you're
I was
right
like a speeding
in there
train, but
hurtling down the corridor after me.
But
the corridor of podcasts.
Subtly, I was. I waited for half a beat.
So just in case.
Just enough that my brain could very quickly read your inflection and work out whether you were going to say a surname or not. And it was like, confirmed, no surname.
No surname.
I'm Peter.
Follow parameters, say first name.
Yeah.
Peter.
Run firstnameonly.exe.
Welcome.
Thanks.
It's a video game podcast. We're going to talk about games and answer questions, bring some weird news, talk about what we're playing, groundbreaking segment, and wrap it up with a big old discussion at the end.
God.
Before we go any further, Peter,
yeah,
we have made it onto audio platforms.
My lord.
It took us nearly a month.
Yeah, it's early March now.
Yeah, so yeah, it took us a little while. It was out of our hands, out of our control, but we are now available as of the recording of this episode. Mm. We are on, we're hosted on Acast, and we've tweeted out the direct link to that.
Yeah.
And it'll be in the description of the video. If you're watching the video, you might be listening to the MP3 now.
We'll remain on YouTube.
Yeah, we're still going to be on YouTube in video form. We're on Spotify already. We're on Podbean as well, if you use that. We're going to try and expand the services that we are on and the platforms that we're on based on what you guys want us to be on.
Yeah.
iTunes, it's currently going under the submission process, which
pending
can take a couple of days.
Scandal.
Podcast pending. But do let us know. Google Podcasts, unfortunately, it's not available in the UK, apparently. We're not allowed to submit.
Weird
for that
thing.
So yeah, that can't help you there. But if there are any that you really want us to be on, let us know, and we will do our best to get on there.
And if you're watching or listening to this at time of release, we've also backdated and put the old episodes on as well.
They're all on there. So please leave us reviews in relevant places. It will really help a lot, big time.
Mm.
So thank you for that. Let's start with a question, Peter.
Oh, I'd love to.
Who's first on the docket from the wonderful world of Patreon?
This is from Sam Muck. That's all it says. Sam
is that
Muck.
Like a hammock.
Yeah.
But only for Sams.
Oh. I mean, you can eat ham in a hammock. You can eat Sam.
Well,
in
that's
a
where you go to. Maybe it's salmon.
Oh, delicious.
A salmon.
A delicious sammock. Anyway.
Yes.
Sammock briefly stepped down from his hanging bed tree.
He graced us with his presence
and said, "Is the single player game here to stay with the success of Red Dead Spider-Man?" I've not played that. Have you?
Red Dead Spider-Man.
Red Dead Spider-Man. There's no comma there. With the success of Red Dead Spider-Man, etc., or is online play with microtransactions and loot boxes just too profitable to ignore?
Come on, give him the benefit of the doubt.
Just too profitable. I mean, that's what it says.
It is what it says.
Too profitable to ignore.
Look, he's come down from the
sammock. He's paid good money to ask this question.
Sam Muck has come down from his sammock to ask us a question.
Sorry, Sam.
And you're mocking him. You're mucking him.
Sam-ocking him. Right, let's go from the top.
Yes.
Red in English.
Go on.
Is the single-player game here to stay with the success of Red Dead, Spider-Man, etc.? Or is online play with microtransactions and loot boxes just too profitable to ignore?
Oh, that's an excellent question. So, oh, off he goes. Bye. Bye, Sam.
Oh, off he
back
goes.
Back up to the sammock.
Back into his tree to eat bananas and fish.
Oh, is that it? Is that all he can eat up there?
Yeah. Well, there's bananas in the tree and salmon in the sammock.
They only build them in banana trees. Well, what a rich fiction we're weaving
here.
The sammock.
God.
This is the kind of premium treatment you can expect if you go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump, where we exclusively source the questions for this podcast.
It's time for a triple jump wiki, I think.
Oh,
Whittle jump.
So much fiction already.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember it all. So I think the prime example really to go straight to is PlayStation.
Right.
Because they almost exclusively seem to be developing single-player narrative, very critically well-received.
Very good ones.
Very good single-player games. So I believe that, you know, we're in a weird space at the moment where free-to-play is getting more and more prominent, especially with Apex. You know, that came out of nowhere. Apex Legends, published by EA, developed by Titanfall developers Respawn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys, presumably, well, they're meant to be working on a Star Wars game as well. But
well, I was going to go there later, but yeah.
They could release, like, Titanfall 3 and charge 60 buckaroos and have it stuffed to the eyeballs with microtransactions and stuff, but they've elected to release a game that clearly has had a lot of time put into it. It's very polished.
Yeah.
For free, because the microtransaction model is so sustainable at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, this is the interesting thing is that I as a broad answer, a general answer, I will say I don't think, you know, I think single players are still here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go into more detail, I'm sure. But as an interesting kind of caveat to that is, I feel like because multiplayer games are so lucrative, they're kind of delaying the rate at which we're receiving single-player narrative games from certain companies on certain platforms anyway. So as you say, on PlayStation, yeah, we're still getting plenty of excellent stuff. But you mentioned Star Wars from EA. They don't know what they're doing. As we've discussed in a previous podcast and on a list, they announced 1313.
Mm.
Or Star Wars in general did, and then there was the takeover.
Yeah.
Then that was cancelled. Then there was going to be Ragtag, the single player. Then that was cancelled. Then there was going to be a multiplayer game. So it's like, oh, okay, they've dropped single player in favor of multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Then that was cancelled. And now we're getting a single player game. That's on the way.
Yeah.
And it just seems very confused. Now, I don't know if part of the reason of that is they're trying to work out, oh, what can make the most money here? Like,
yeah.
We know people would... We know there's demand for an interesting linear single player narrative, but actually, can we line our pockets a bit more if we do multiplayer stuff? And I don't know.
We're in a weird place at the moment where obviously everyone involved in video games is a business and they want to make their money. But there are still different principles and philosophies that these companies tend to abide to.
Mm.
Obviously, EA is a bit more relaxed about ethics, really. But, you know, you've got, I think as long as Nintendo and PlayStation are in the game, so to speak, those two specifically, there will definitely still be single player games.
Yeah.
Microsoft tends to sort of, it's far more diverse in what it offers in terms of sort of games as a service and multiplayer offerings and things like that. Nintendo's just getting into multiplayer, but we haven't really had any highlight exclusive multiplayer PlayStation games probably since early PS4 days, late PS3. Killzone Shadowfall had a multiplayer component that didn't have a huge player base.
Yeah, the issue I think is more when you venture outside of companies publishing for their own consoles.
Mm.
So like the moment you talk about Bethesda, for example, is another case in point where I've written here the rate at which we're receiving Elder Scrolls games, for example, they're every like 4 or 5 years from Morrowind to Oblivion to Skyrim.
Yeah.
And in between all those games was DLC coming out all the time, mm-hmm. up until 2012. And then at that point, we got the Elder Scrolls Online in 2014.
Yeah.
And we've not had any, apart from a load of re-releases of Skyrim, but we've not had any new content from Elder Scrolls.
No.
And I don't think we're going to get that teased sequel this year. I suspect next year at least.
That's a very long way away.
So essentially, we've got like a 6 or 7 year gap between the last proper Elder Scrolls single player release, and I feel like Bethesda probably are happy because they're plugging the gap with their very lucrative multiplayer online game instead.
Yeah.
But people who aren't so interested in that have just not had a proper Elder Scrolls to play since Skyrim came out.
I would argue that the Elder Scrolls Online isn't a proper Elder Scrolls game.
And
that it's not a main series entry because they don't do, or they tend not to.
Well, it's not a main series entry, yeah.
Well, yeah.
I agree.
Like Fallout, you know, they've done New Vegas and things. Obviously, that was developed by published by Bethesda.
Yeah.
It's Bethesda, I think they're still predominantly a single player focused studio. They have obviously this multiplayer, this MMO, but I'd highly doubt, you know, they know where their player base is. It's not it's not in multiplayer. They've got a big one there.
Yeah.
But that's not their, that's not the full potential of their audience.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm not suggesting that are they gradually moving towards doing multiplayer only, but I think what I'm saying is that these things are lucrative.
Yeah.
And in terms of just furthering the Elder Scrolls collection of games in general, or whether it's single player or multiplayer or whatever, they're, it seems they're quite happy to plug the gap with an MMO, because those things have legs a lot more than a single player does.
Yeah, MMOs are still, they're tricky though, aren't they? They've clearly managed to get it right here, but that was a gamble.
Because, oh yeah,
you see MMOs all the time really struggling, but
yeah,
as long as we've got indie games as well, I think, you know, people are always going to want to sit in at home after work, or just, you know, make it their full-time thing just to make something.
Yeah.
And sometimes those are multiplayer.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the best single-player experiences we've had in the last several years have been indie games.
Yeah.
Oxenfree and being one of them.
I really enjoyed Everyone's Gone to Rapture. That
yeah,
was fun.
It was incredible. You know, so there are always going to be really good single-player games. If you want a huge budget behind it, though, you've got to probably look towards Nintendo and PlayStation because they focus far more on that stuff. Activision, EA, they publish those games as well from time to time, but they're far more focused on multiplayer stuff and loot boxes and the like. In fact, I have a quote here from chairman of Sony Interactive Entertainment Worldwide Studios, Sean Layden.
Sean Layden.
To know that the choices we're making to lean heavily into stories and narrative and to create worlds where people will lose themselves in the story of another person or culture or an... beginning of that.
Consider resigning.
I've clearly done a very good job there and just copied half of the sentence across, thinking it made sense without reading it back.
Just start with... It's nice.
It's nice to know that the choices we're making to lean heavily into stories and narrative and to create worlds where people will lose themselves. It still doesn't make
it
sense, doesn't it?
No.
We're very proud of that, he continues. We will continue to execute our franchises on that. As far as games as a service and esports or recurring revenue models or whatever, if we can do something interesting and meaningful in those areas, we'll do it.
Good to know.
So basically, he's doubling down and saying, hey, look, you know, we're really proud of what we're doing in the single player department. And we know players and critics really appreciate it, and they sell really well, so we're going to keep doing that. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that apparently you can't string a sentence together, which is super embarrassing, Sean Layden. I can't believe you would do that.
Yeah.
But no, I think single player games are definitely here to stay.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They'll never go. Are you okay?
Just trying to drink.
Do a really... Yeah. That's nice.
Oh, there's a bit of fluff in this mug.
Oh.
But if you order one from triplej.mup and then go to our store, it probably won't have fluff in it. I can't guarantee it, but listen to that.
Mm.
Those of you listening at home.
Yeah, there's for people who can't see the mugs.
We're
on
drinking
video.
Out of our premium Triple Jump mugs.
Yeah.
It's the way we deal with awkwardly fluffing an entire section.
Liquid.
Here we go. We're moving on to a section, the most groundbreaking section in all of podcasting. Are you ready, Peter?
We're smashing it, yeah.
Here we... Okay.
Yeah.
Just put that mug right down there.
Yeah, it was heavy.
It's time for What We Playing.
Oh! What are we playing, Ben?
That's an excellent question, Peter. I'll tell you what you want, what you really, really want.
Just tell me what I want, what I really, really want.
I wanna.
Her.
Huh? I wanna.
Really, really, really wanna.
Zigga. So I streamed earlier in the week, and I thought, let's play some Rocket League. It's been a while since I played some Rocket League.
Yeah.
I put a poll out there, Rocket League won.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wasteland.
Oh, I know.
I didn't know anything about this, and I was so shocked to discover it. And also, it was really inconvenient for it to be found out on a stream where I had to change game halfway
through.
You need
to do some preparation next time. Do
some research. I'm sorry that I thought Rocket League, the award-winning quadrillion dollar revenue video game that everybody loves.
Multiplayer.
That's also an e-sport. Has gone to the dogs, so to speak. Or the car dogs.
Doggett League.
Basically, out of the five or six games that I joined, at least half the players were not playing. So they were either idling and not moving around at all, or they were just accelerating endlessly. So people were clearly using bots or some sort of program, because you can play with Steam players on PS4.
Right.
To just stop being kicked for idling.
Yeah.
And Apparently the goal there is that they're mining or, you know, grinding for in-game crates, loot crates and stuff like that. And I don't really know what the purpose of that is.
Cosmetic car stuff, I think.
Well, yeah, but I don't know how like you'd sell it and stuff.
No, yeah,
I
don't really profit from
I don't really understand. Mm-hmm. But apparently that's what it's for. And it was just shocking, not only that that is even allowed, but that it isn't being policed at all,
yeah.
It seems. I don't know why. It was every single game, there were at least a few players who just weren't playing.
That's strange.
And it's insane, given, as I said, the amount of people who like this game, the amount of people who presumably still play this game, the fact that it's an e-sport, the fact that this that Psyonix has made all the money in the entire universe from it. It just... I'm speechless, Peter. I can't believe it.
They must know that it's going on, though, because if... I mean, maybe you're just really unlucky, but it sounds like almost every game this is happening. Or you know, the vast majority of games, there's going to be someone doing that. And like, I'm sure there are various simple ways to get around it. Like, number one, the people who are just idling and not moving, they should be being booted. And I don't know, maybe they do get booted eventually, and that's why people have
suspicious behavior
to drive them around. Yeah. But if you can create a bot that can just accelerate and turn left and right occasionally and is going to trick the game, then. Maybe they should just say, I know it's a mild inconvenience, but they should just put, like, not necessarily a capture on it.
Are you a robot?
But just a thing where you have to, like, select the right thing and be, like, after every fifth match or something.
Yeah.
Just something
like
to say.
Like a Netflix, are you still watching?
Basically kind that. But, I mean, again, a bot could just probably recognize that and press X. But do you know what I mean? Like, some kind of...
RuneScape had things in place.
Right.
Where... If you mined too much, and I think if you cut down too many trees, a golem slash tree monster would spawn and just start attacking you.
Yeah.
And people would use, and probably still use, bots to mine and chop down wood almost endlessly. And, you know, if if you weren't playing, you'd get beaten up by these monsters and you'd die. And you'd come back hours later after going to school or whatever.
Yeah.
And your character would be dead. I never used it, obviously, because
I'm
a good boy. But a good Christian, wholesome boy. But I don't know. I did know someone who did use these bots, and that happened to him. I don't know how that would be introduced in Rocket League necessarily. I don't know how they would get a golem or a tree monster in there. But I'm just saying,
it's a big angry car.
I couldn't believe that this actually just a full size regular car.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that this was happening. I couldn't in this game. It shocked me, and I find it very disappointing. And admittedly, I'm not sure if I was playing ranked games, because I think those are probably better.
Yeah.
But the fact it's happening at all is kind of appalling, really.
Yeah, it is. That is a tragedy. But moving from a slightly sad tale from our streams to a happier one.
Yeah.
What we play in,
huh?
Literally me and you this week played the final... segment of our Claire run-through of Resident Evil 2.
Resident Evil 2.
Which means, I know there's the extra stories that we're yet to play, whether we do it on stream or not, I don't know, but me and you have now both completed Leon and Claire on Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, so we played Leon's campaigns in the comfort of our own home.
Yeah.
And then we did the Claire campaign on stream every Thursday. So if you've been watching those, thank you very much. The finale will be up on Monday. While we're on the subject, actually, I just want to quickly touch on the fact that, you know, obviously we're putting out 3 VODs a week and stuff. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, people are happy with that and we really appreciate it. But there are still some people who, you know, we just can never please.
No.
And we would like to point out that we're doing our very best. There are only 2 of us.
Yeah.
And we have selected a model to begin the channel that we believe will maximize the chance of us surviving more than a year.
Yeah, succeeding.
And there being some sort of longevity to the channel. And as we go and we expand, we will look at other avenues to find and introduce new content and new shows.
And maybe some familiar content. And
exactly,
shows.
And some secrets and discoveries from some of our favorite games. But, you know, until then, this is what we're doing at the moment. And if you don't like it, you can get at.
You can
get at.
Fup. It off.
Fup it. You can fup right off.
Yeah.
As I said, like, the majority of you are wonderful and we really appreciate you supporting us. But of course, there are some people out there who it's never enough. It's never.
Go and watch the back catalogue of previous stuff, if that's previous what you adventures. Really miss. Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up just because, you know, the VODs in particular is something that someone was just sounding off about recently.
I think. I've seen people sounding off about lists as well. Like, we try and make them entertaining. Yeah, I think they are.
I think they are.
I like making them. Mm. You know, we're finally able to do ones that we really want to do. And it's a, frankly, it's a more lucrative type of video to put out than sitting and playing, well, I don't know, just doing a 30-part Let's Play of something or
right.
I don't know what.
Anyway,
yeah.
I just thought I'd briefly bring that up just because, you know, the VOD comment the other day didn't get my blood boiling, but it did irk me something.
Blood boiling.
Yeah. So that'll be up on Monday if you want to watch that. And if you've been watching through the various parts of this Let's Play, we really appreciate it. Thank you very much. We'll be looking for something new to play soon.
Yeah. But in the interest of the what we're playing discussion segment, I just want to know what, well, I mean, I know it's my entry to the podcast, but I want to know what you thought of the campaign as a whole. I know. Ooh. I certainly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it because, I mean, not only when you play as Claire, is there areas that you access that you don't in Leon's.
Mm-hmm. And not only are you a walking cube when you have the walking cube skin.
When you have the 1998 skin in the world. It also remixes to ignition.
Yeah. Well, careful.
No.
Not him.
Let's not.
No.
And because we played as... when you finish Leon's campaign, you either get to start a new game as Claire, or you get to start a new game, and then in parentheses, second run. Which means that you're continuing the save file technically, but things won't quite be as you remember them from Leon's campaign.
No.
So it changes a couple of things around on top of the fact that it's Claire's campaign, which is different anyway.
Mm.
So I really enjoyed that because we went into a couple of rooms thinking, we're safe in here. You know, the safe rooms have moved
for
the start. They're in different places.
Got rid of the safe room, I would say. The OG, true, happiest, safest room, which was the police lobby. That's just gone now.
We got into a room where we knew nothing happened in Leon's campaign, where we had to get the arm of the statue, and then a licker just burst through the skylight and scared the bejesus out of us.
And vice versa as well. We would occasionally go into a room.
We burst through a skylight onto a licker and scared the bejesus out of
the
him.
The licker was doing a puzzle, putting an arm onto a statue, going, how do I do this? And then we scared him. Yeah. But yeah, going into spooky rooms as well, going, I remember this being a terrible place. And then it's like, there's nothing there. And actually, that makes you more tense than if there had been a monster. You're like, is it coming right at the end of the room? Should have been here by now. Hello?
I really enjoyed it. And you did as well.
I did. I really, I think it was a lot of fun. Very well made.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much flawless. I'm not saying perfect. Those are two different words.
But I have no issues with that game.
No.
I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I was morbidly fascinated with it before it came out. Mm. And then I ended up playing through it and blew me away.
Yeah.
We
saw the occasional just like slightly twitchy limb.
Yeah, sort of a jiggly boy here and there.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's really nothing, is it?
It's par for the course.
And I love the sort of clean, quite minimal UI and engine in general with since Resi 7, and they've reused it here as well.
It looks great.
It's clean and tidy and nice. So
I must say, I heard a lot more of the music with the headphones on, obviously, than I did when I was playing Leon's campaign.
Mm.
And there are times when it really tenses an area up.
Yeah.
But I still think that there's something to be said for the creepy, not quite right music used in the original
one. Bit synthy.
Yeah. It just sounds a bit wrong and broken.
Yeah.
And it really does scare you.
It's like a sad accordion.
Yeah.
The monkey on top is already dead. It's just the most depressing busker ever.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to find this man or woman and help them out.
Yeah.
Is that what we'd be playing?
Yeah.
Wow. Let us know what you be playing in the comments below. What a section.
Yeah,
God.
We both brought games that if people have been watching all our content, they already knew we've been playing
those. Well, I wanted to talk about Rocket League anyway. I have been playing Modern Warfare Remastered, but I'm probably going to be playing a bit more of that this coming week.
Yeah,
so I'll talk
I'm
about it next
picking up Spider-Man now, finally.
Oh,
I
yes.
played a little bit of it already, but it's time to actually do it properly.
It's time to swing.
Tune in next week.
Where Peter's talking about the current modern release, Spider-Man.
And Ben's talking about the current modern release,
Modern Warfare.
Brilliant.
Right. Next question, Peter.
Yeah.
This is from Eon Davidson. It's
not
Eon
Millennium
again.
Davidson, sorry. Eon Davidson.
Oh, yeah, okay, I see.
Thousands upon thousands of years of Davidson.
It's very good. We did this, I feel like we did this before.
Yeah.
Eon,
I think we did.
The power company. Yeah. Eon Davidson, Mr. Eon, says, so, the Sonic movie kind of revealed what Sonic will look like. Thoughts/nightmares on the subject?
Yes.
Yeah, so we got the scary legs a little while ago in a leaked poster where he had very human legs, and it was from an angle that was sort of at crotch height, and artists' renditions. Mm. They would zoom the photo out and like draw crudely what else was happening in that photo.
Yeah.
And it is literally he must be laying there like, oh, look at my
definitely.
Look at my hog, my hedgehog.
In terms of point of view, we basically had our head between his legs, facing outwards.
It's a really weird view.
Yeah.
I don't know how we would get down there, really.
And he's been sort of zipping around the Golden Gate Bridge. You can see the trail that he's made, which is inexplicably still there. Mm-hmm. And he's had time to come and lie down and recline. I guess it's because he's so fast.
He's got to go fast.
He's like the Flash.
When will you learn that your actions have consequences? Recently, we got to see all of him. In all of his glory.
In all of his what?
In all of his glory.
No, it's not glory.
In all of his glory.
In all of his gory.
He is a very strange looking man.
He is.
I'll put it that way. He's got these big eyes. I'm going to have to get a photo up of it. But
he kind of
just
almost looks a bit dimply in his cheeks. He doesn't have actual dimples, but he's got a kind of...
Yeah.
You know, it's like in The Simpsons when Lisa gets the mumps and her cheeks swell up. That's kind of what he reminds me of when she's playing Dash Dingo. Oh, didgeridoo. It's just a gaming reference to tie it in while you go through your phone and pull up a picture.
Yeah, Simpsons gaming reference.
Yes. A game that only exists in a fictional world, but is a parody of a... Have you got it there yet?
I'm starting to drown here. Keep going.
Anyway, I'm sexually attracted to Sonic the Hedgehog. That's what I'm saying. Here he is. So this is...
There he is there.
Yeah, he's the one on the left on this image. Yeah, someone has corrected him in this side-by-side photo.
They've pointed his nose more and they've made his eyes sort of... His pupils slightly more slender like a cat's.
They've given him actual gloves because it's at the moment it's a bit ambiguous as to whether it sort of looks like he's wearing gloves, the one that they the real one, the movie one, but he might not be. Some people are slightly afraid that his arms just go into white fur on the ends of his hands.
I suppose it's problematic anyway when you try to convert a character that is just a cartoon.
Yeah.
Because he has a backstory, but it's weird. And it's difficult to put that into live action anyway unless you literally just have him be a cartoon. What they've tried to do is, to the best of their ability, anthropomorphize an already anthropomorphized hedgehog man.
So there are various options, right? So you can either, you could Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy him, which is, you know, he's, the new Crash looks modern gen and crisp, and you can see like almost individual hairs on his fur, but he still looks like a cartoon character. Mm-hmm. Or you could even, I would go as far as to say you could even do what they did in that terrible Sonic Xbox game, Sonic 06.
Yes.
Which is a really bad game.
It is.
But they've put a cartoony Sonic in not quite a live-action world.
But it's close enough.
It's Final Fantasy-ish. So it's a bit like Kingdom Hearts, how you have a bunch of cartoony characters alongside what are supposed to be sort of normal-ish human beings.
Yeah.
I think there's ways to mix these things. Like Detective Pikachu is doing it okay-ish.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be better received because we know that it's got Ryan Reynolds in it, so it's at least going to be slightly entertaining.
But even just visually.
Yeah, visually, yeah, absolutely. But I don't know if Sonic has the goodwill that perhaps Detective Pikachu has going for it. So people are going to be far more critical of it just because it's like, oh, God, let's hear what he sounds like. Oh, it's 1,000 violins that don't have strings anymore.
But my point is, though, I don't think they had to try and adapt him into a more anthropomorphic form.
I think they could have
just pulled the character out, made him have individual Monsters, Inc. Sully fur hairs, and it still would look weird. I don't think they need to do this film, but like it would have looked better than what they've done right now, which is try and blend the two worlds.
I don't understand why it has to be live action.
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah. Because Ratchet and Clank had a film that wasn't great, but it was at least CG. The whole thing was in their universe. Can you imagine having a CG Lombax interacting with a real person with the proportions of of what's his name, Captain Quark.
Yeah,
with his massive chin and his ridiculous upper body.
Chin bigger than his legs.
Like it would look like some sort of weird Tim Burton nightmare.
Well, that's a good question. Why have they brought him into a real world? I still feel that way about Mario Odyssey. I know that was very well received, but I still thought that was a really weird choice.
It's really strange
to bring in a tiny
real person. Here's this strange hobbit man.
Yeah, just running around New York taxis, jumping on people's heads and stuff.
It's just New Donk City.
Yeah, okay.
That's what it's called.
Fine.
Thank you.
Jeez.
No, I totally agree. Bearing in mind that Sonic has had several animated series that are just cartoons. They're not CG. But like they could have gone that route.
Yeah.
And I think that would have at least pleased the hardcore Sonic crowd.
And kids.
I don't think... Well, yeah, and children as well. I don't think anyone is going to be rushing out there sort of mainstream audience-wise and going, oh my God, this film looks sick.
Yeah.
It's a Sonic film. I can't wait. It's going to be aggressively marketed towards children, regardless of the route they go down. But really, it's Sonic fans that they want to come and see this. And they've already pissed all of them off.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they were thinking.
Imagine being the marketing team for this film, not having even released a trailer yet, and everyone's already really angry about
it.
Just
furious.
I would just be terrified for trailer day, wouldn't you?
Oh.
There's one still that's been leaked as well. I don't know if you've seen that, where he's sort of running towards the camera.
Oh, no.
He looks horrible. He looks totally different as well to the images we've seen so far, but in a different way.
Is it like Will Smith's genie?
Yeah, kind of.
There's something I can't quite put my finger on it, but there's something very wrong.
Will Smith's genie is really strange because it looks like his face has been shrunk down slightly too small for the head.
It does, yeah.
It's like someone's blown up a balloon slightly too much.
It's like a meme.
Yeah.
It's like the meme where like the Gordon Ramsay where they make his face too small.
Yeah, really weird.
Oh dear. Anyway, thank you for that question.
Yeah, I didn't mean to bandwagon, but that's just our genuine. I mean, you can't not be angry about the terrible.
Well, yeah,
or not,
I mean,
angry. Just
I'm not angry.
Disturbed.
I'm like, I feel like something good went out of the world when that was released.
Yeah.
When someone made that decision, something really pure died. Mm-hmm. At some point, we're going to work out what it was. Maybe chocolate doesn't taste as good anymore. Maybe all the ice cream melted. But there is balance in this world, and this has deeply, deeply upset that balance.
Every time a child says, "I do not believe in hedgehogs," somewhere in the world, a hedgehog falls down dead. You have to clap to make it come back to life.
This Sonic gets like one extra hair. You should have seen him originally. It was really very unsettling.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. It's time, Peter. Weird. It's time for weird news.
It's about to get weird.
Oh, it's weird news time.
Bizarre.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Peter,
yes.
What have you brought for me today?
I brought my mobile phone, upon which I have sent myself a link to an article from Kotaku once again.
Oh, Peter Austin and his Kotaku.
To me, I mean, I'm not like much of an online news reader for gaming news particularly. Like, I just look what's on Twitter and stuff, but I don't really go from site to site looking at what's going on. But whenever I'm looking for weird news, Kotaku always deliver.
Well, what have they delivered to you today?
Gaming monitor stops a bullet. Still works perfectly.
I'm sorry?
Gaming monitor stops a bullet. Still works perfectly.
Gaming as in like a PC monitor?
A PC monitor has stopped a bullet.
Wow. It
still works perfectly.
That's incredible.
So
tell me more.
This is according to Kotaku.co.uk.
Yeah.
At 4 a.m. last Sunday morning in Fresno County, California, resident Eric Gann heard a loud banging noise in his house.
Oh.
He lay awake in panic for an hour before falling back asleep, figuring he'd observe the damage in the morning.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
That happens in America.
Except, you know, it wasn't a bullet going into a monitor. It was just my suction cup-based loo roll holder falling off the door.
Have you got a suction cup-based loo roll holder?
You've been to my flat. You know
I've not been in the bathroom, though.
Have you not?
No.
Did you go 4 hours without needing a wee?
Yeah.
Look at the bladder on this boy.
Hell yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, I do. I tell you why. It's because I've got the one that they built onto this is really important. I'm going to talk about it now, okay? Since we're
we'll
on the
subject.
Find out
about the bullet hole shortly.
The bullet hole can wait. I'm talking about loo roll holders and what it means for your weekend at 11. The loo roll holder that they have affixed to the wall, because the toilet is right next to the door for the bathroom on the side. They put it behind you practically, so you have to really turn around and reach behind you to get the toilet roll off the holder.
No one wants that.
So I had a suction cupped one from my from the last place I lived, and I put it on the door just so it's easier to reach, and it fell off and it spooked me something good. But again, just like the bullet man, I thought it'll be fine, I'll look at it in the morning.
Yeah, I think in America, if you hear a loud bang in your house that sounds like a gunshot, you just think
someone's coming to kill me.
Well, no, you think, oh, well, I'll see what happens at 9 a.m., I suppose. It's just such a regular occurrence there.
Yeah.
That's not my trip.
If I die, I don't have to pay health insurance, which is nice.
He didn't expect to find 5 bullet holes in his home.
Jeez, 5?
5 hours later.
How many loo roll holders?
None, according to the article, but I can reach out to the writer if you wish.
Please, yeah, I'm realistic that.
What he also didn't expect was that his gaming monitor had stopped one of them mid-flight. What he most definitely didn't expect is the monitor still worked.
Whoa!
So he basically posted about it on Twitter. There are photos. He is at EricGan98. Actually, I should say, this is reported by Kotaku, but originally was reported by, I think, PC Gamer.
Okay.
Because they love talking about the PC Master Race. Now having a PC, it will stop you being shot.
Yes. That's why you get a PC and not a console. A console wouldn't do that.
So apparently, Eric Gann.
Yes.
He says, the bullet was right behind my monitor. That was the biggest hole. We were like, what the bleep is this? And he looked at the hole, wondering whether the bullet had missed his monitor completely, but then saw the dent where it had hit the back of the monitor and then just dropped down onto the desk.
Wow, what's that monitor made out of?
I don't know. So he says, admittedly, it did go through a wall first.
Right,
so it went
into the house and then
hit the monitor. So that probably helped. But even so, there's a dent from a bullet on the back of his monitor.
So what do they make American houses out of?
Maybe that paper. I think, you know, in Japan, on the inside of houses, they have that paper and wood.
Yeah.
I think they make the outside of American houses out of that.
Because I don't feel like a bullet would get very far through a brick house.
No. It's like the Three Little Pigs.
Right.
That's what the fourth pig made his house out of computer game monitors.
And he was safe forever.
Yeah. The wolf brought a gun.
Does it say anywhere in there about why there were bullets fired at his house?
It does. I'm just trying to find it. Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. Bullet holes marred the south wall, according to PC Gamer.
Yeah.
He didn't know why and chalks it up to some kids partying too hard nearby.
Oh, for God's sake. Yeah. America.
Hashtag America.
Americans, get out of America. It's not safe for you there.
Best of all, as you probably might expect, in the interest of PR, that he's now received a message from the monitor's manufacturer offering a replacement.
Oh, that's good.
Gann says that the day after the incident, he was playing Apex Legends again as if nothing had happened.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, I would go to bed before 10, otherwise you might not be so lucky next time. That's a threat.
Who's the manufacturer of the monitor? Was it a rival monitor manufacturer that shot his house up?
Well, that's backfired, hasn't it? Because they've just proved...
Lenovo scam!
They just proved that their own rivals have bulletproof monitors.
Yeah,
what a terrible move.
Yeah, it backfired.
PR nightmare. MSI Optics G27C2 gaming monitor.
Wow. That sounds complicated. It sounds like a PC monitor.
Kotaku rang the county sheriff's office and corroborated Gann's story.
Huh.
It did happen. Five gunshots.
Wow.
That he chalked up to some kids partying too hard.
Well, that truly was weird.
Weird news and almost gaming related.
Yeah, I'd say so. It's a shame you didn't have a story about, you know, your loo roll holder and stuff.
Well,
maybe next time. Mm. Destructoid.com.
Yeah?
If you happen to live in Japan, are a big Final Fantasy fan, and have a wedding coming up.
All three of those things.
The stars have just aligned in your favor. Mm. Square Enix is teaming up with Bridal Hearts to offer a Final Fantasy XIV-themed wedding service for prospective couples in the country.
It's quite specific.
It is very
14.
Specific. The service will allow people to enjoy elements from the game and recreate the eternal bonding ceremony with all the proper outfits and decor and legal authority of a wedding.
Oh.
The full package will include a wedding dress and tuxedo modelled after Final Fantasy XIV's equivalent garbs, various in-game assets recreated for background images and videos, and replicas...
Did you just say recreated?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I think I was trying to say recreational, but yeah. I just absolutely leaned into it.
Yeah, I called you out on it as well.
And you could have just let me have this.
I could have.
And replicas of... the bride and groom's weapons of choice. Obviously, music from the popular MMO will be played, and a gigantic themed cake will be shared with the guests, along with a fully catered menu of Final Fantasy food and drink.
Would you come down the aisle to One Winged Angel?
Sephiroth! Sephiroth! I would. Such a brilliant piece of music.
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
A standard plan,
right,
which includes the service with 70 guests, will run couples 3.5 million yen.
What? Oh, yeah. No, okay. Jeez, you scared me.
How many dollaries do you think that'd be?
Dollary dues. Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't even want to hazard a guess.
It's a lot. Bearing in mind weddings are expensive anyway, and neither of us have the experience of paying for a wedding
20
yet.
Grand?
$31,500 American dollars. That sounds like a lot, but weddings aren't cheap.
No, yeah.
The very first ceremony took place on Valentine's Day in Japan, and the service will soon be open to the general public for booking.
So who did that? Some non-general public person had the first service.
I think so, yeah. It doesn't detail exactly who. But
actual Cloud got married.
Yeah. Got married to Sephiroth.
Or maybe it's that bit where he dresses as a woman and the man tries, so if depending on what dialogue options you choose, what's he called? Don Corneo.
Don Corneo tries to...
bed you.
Tries to get in your corneo.
And you can say, like, I'll do whatever you want, daddy, and stuff.
I think you just stay silent. He's very... Cloud in that...
No, there's an option. There is literally whatever you want, daddy, is an option.
Wow.
I'm not even exaggerating.
Can't wait for that in the remake.
Yeah.
I am honestly fascinated to see how they handle that entire area.
What about that jacuzzi when you get in with all the boys?
Yeah, you don't have to. I never did that,
okay.
Funnily enough.
Well, I did.
I didn't know that you could, but yes, you can jump in the boy soup with all the fellas.
They tell you not to go because they're lonely and stuff.
Oh, it's very weird. I can't remember what we were talking about. Anyway, Final Fantasy weddings, that's a thing that you can do now. And that is all from the weird news this
Excellent.
Week. A question, Peter.
Yeah?
Who be it from?
It be from Rydia or Rydia. 704. Right. What do you think?
I'm going to say Rydia because it's a Y.
Yeah, okay. Are either or both of you completionists? Mm. Do you ever platinum game?
We talked about this at the start, okay?
Do you ever platinum game or 100% them? If so, what's the hardest you have 100% id? ?
Still red.
Yeah.
Fantastically.
Yeah.
Peter, how do you feel about completing games all to the max?
Well, I know that you are not just a completionist in terms of you play a game and think, this is fun, I want to finish it.
I want to finish it.
But you collect platinums.
Yeah, I believe there's a more damaging term for it, but I appreciate your candor.
I don't know what that is. What is it?
Trophy.
Platter whore.
Well, yeah, that's the second part of that.
Right.
The second part of that word. Trophy and then the W word.
Oh, goodness me.
Yeah.
Well, I personally, I fall somewhere in between the I don't GAF or I am a trophy whore.
Right.
In that I do actively wish to platinum games that I feel very strongly about.
Yes.
So, for example, I don't know if I've done it for Reignited yet. I've certainly done all the in-game stuff, but I think there's a couple of trophies sort of, you know, that aren't related to in-game objectives that I need to do.
Have you not done that yet?
I don't think so. I've got 100% in all of the games, and I've done all the skill points. So that's
right.
Everything that you
so
would...
the skill points aren't to do with trophies.
No, they're different,
they're
which is a weird thing. Yeah. So I've got most of that. I think I've done Insane Trilogy as well, or I've done 1 and 3 maybe, but not 2. Mm-hmm. And similarly, I mean, the second part of this question, what's the hardest thing you've 100%ed? Yeah. I did Halo 1 and Halo 3 solo on Legendary, and that was so difficult.
Wow.
And that's one of my proudest video game achievements, is having done that, because those last couple of levels where you're just absolutely swamped with the Flood and the Covenant, and there's triggered, like the game triggers explosions next to you for no reason and stuff. It's just really brutal. But
sounds brutal.
You know, I was a Halo fanboy, at least temporarily, for the original trilogy anyway. Yeah. And yeah, Crash and Spyro, things like that. You know, I'm a big fan of those. So that's kind of where my completionism is sitting at the moment. I'm not yet a trophy whore boy like you are.
I am.
But tell me about life as a man who sells himself to trophies.
Well, it started innocently enough with the introduction of trophies.
Yeah.
All the way back in 2008. In fact, I can't remember when. There weren't trophies from launch for PS3. They added them a little while afterwards.
Right.
And I think I've got, I think it's like 120 something, 130, so I'm not sure. Something like that. That's how many platinums I've got.
Okay.
But generally, yes, I will only do that for games that I've really enjoyed or that I think, but equally, I will do it for games that I think I can do it in.
Yeah.
Just because, like Spider-Man was the most recent one where I genuinely loved that game. Mm-hmm. And I played all the DLCs. And there's something to be said for tying everything your game has to offer to trophies, because then people are more likely to do it, in my experience.
Yeah.
But equally, that can sort of be a bit damaging. Not that they truly probably care about that, because by then they've had your money.
Yeah.
And you've played it enough to talk about it extensively.
Right.
But as is the case with Spyro, I have all the platinum trophies in the Reignited trilogy.
Right.
But I don't give a damn about doing any of the skill points and stuff, purely because, well, the platinum's done, and that's that game finished.
Right.
And I never have to go back to it unless I just want to play it for fun.
That's funny that we have, like, inverse sort of priorities in that respect. Like, the reason I've not done the platinum yet is because I personally don't mind so much about seeing a platinum pop on my PlayStation.
Right.
But I care enough about the actual in-game sort of content, like the guidebook where you tick off skill points and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that drives me to want to do 120% or whatever it is of Spyro 1 and get every skill point. But yeah, I don't know. That's a funny difference.
I just have like a knee weakening orgasm.
Yeah.
Every time I get a platinum trophy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really do think there's something to be said for going for the platinum in terms of seeing everything the game has to offer. Horizon Zero Dawn had what I think is a good balance of a great platinum trophy, where it made you do bits of everything, but it didn't make you do everything to completion.
That's nice.
For want of a better term.
Yeah.
So, like, here's this optional thing you can do. Do some of them.
Just get a taste for it.
Don't have to do all of them.
Yeah.
Because then people, as is the case with some games, go for platinum trophies, and by the time they're done, you're just like, screw this game. I never want to see this game again,
even
if it's really good. In terms of the hardest one, I got the platinum in Spec Ops The Line, and that game is hard anyway. That game on the hardest difficulty is just absurd. Mm-hmm. And similarly with Mass Effect 2 on, I think, it might be called Insanity, or it might be called Nightmare. It's one of the two.
Right.
At the hardest difficulty, doing an entire playthrough on that was very hard. In the end, what I had to do was make sure I built a character that could go invisible temporarily as one of his power-ups, and just run through some of the combat areas, just because it was so difficult. And they would just murder you so fast.
I remember doing that in Oblivion. I think they sort of nerfed it a bit in Skyrim, but in Oblivion you could add up to, I think, 20% invisibility onto a piece of armor. And you could wear up to 5 different pieces. Like, if you include, like, rings and amulets and stuff, you could wear, like, 5 plus pieces of armor. So if you enchanted 20% invisibility on all these, no one would ever see you. And you could, like, attack someone, and they would be like, oh, must have been a rat or whatever. Like,
just, what was that noise?
Yeah. Your mind's playing tricks on me and things like that. Yeah. But, you know, it just seems exploitative. The one other thing I would say while we're on the subject is it's a bit of a shame when trophies are tied to multiplayer, particularly if you pick up a game way later on and then servers are dead.
That was absolutely rampant on PS3 when everything was copying. Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare changed everything for multiplayer games, at least on consoles. Yeah. and everybody wanted a slice of that cake afterwards. Mm-hmm. And every game had some kind of shoehorned multiplayer, in, even in a way that just didn't make sense.
Tomb Raider, Uncharted, there things was, like that.
Well, yeah, exactly. And there was one game in particular that I really liked. It was like a combination of BioShock and Half-Life. And for the life of me, I cannot remember what it's called now.
Okay.
It wasn't Time Shift. It was something like that.
Okay.
I'll give it a Google in a minute. But basically, that game had an ill-thought-out multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a good few years after it came out, going back to it and trying to get the multiplayer trophies. And they were for playing the multiplayer for quite some time.
Yeah.
So it's like, get so many kills with this creature or whatever. And I had to set it on find a game, click that button, and then just leave it for like an hour.
God.
Just while I was doing stuff. And there was, at one point we had a game going, one game going, and everybody just stayed in it because they knew as soon as they left, we wouldn't be able to play anymore. They wouldn't be able to find another game. And it would just, as soon as you found a game, you were committed then to playing it for as long as you could.
Yeah.
Because it would just disappear again.
Then you're just chatting to each other saying, right, which trophies have you not got yet? Because we might not have another chance.
Yeah. So that, I'm gonna look up what that game is now.
Okay.
But that would definitely be one of the hardest parts about going for platinum trophies is when servers are switched off. The worst. Singularity. That was the name of the game, developed by Raven Software, published by Activision, and then they just sort of, Raven Software has just contributed to Call of Duty now over the years. But that was their last, I think, proper go at a narrative original IP. And it was really good. It was a bit wonky in places, but I really enjoyed that game. Anyway, the multiplayer was crap, so that was a shame. Anyway, lovely question. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you'd like to submit a question and you're not a patron, consider going to patreon.com/teamtriplejump. And we usually ask for questions a couple of days before we record. So
we
keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
It's time for the big discussion, Peter.
Oh, it's a strange one this time.
Big discussion time. Yay. So, Peter, can I talk to you about that Xbox Ones? Xbox One S, the Xbox One.
The Xbox Ones, yeah.
We've got two questions here. The first one comes from Ginny.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on the rumors of the discless Xbox One S coming soon?
Mm.
I prefer having the physical copies of games and not really looking forward to a future of just streaming games.
Yeah.
And equally, Thomas McAllister says, having been an early adopter of OnLive, which went the way of the dodo, I wondered if you see any benefits in a streaming-only console in today's gaming environment. With faster average internet speeds than, this is difficult to see with the highlight I've gotten here, than what that console/service debuted, could this be a way of bringing the divide between console and PC performance and game variety in the future? Bridging the divide, bloody hell.
It's interesting, they... You know, Ginny's a big no, and Thomas McAllister sees some positives, or is questioning whether there might be some positives. I, as a headline to my answer, I would say that I'm pretty much with Ginny in that I really like having physical copies of things. I mean, in this business, when we are sometimes kindly sent review copies or early press copies of games, that's pretty much the only time I will end up with digital copies.
It's almost exclusively code now.
Yeah. But if I ever get a game for myself, I prefer to get a physical. Mm-hmm. The one exception was Reignited. I wanted to play that as soon as physically possible. And I was like, I don't want to leave it to the post. So I got both. That's how bad I am. I got a code so I could play it on launch day, but I also wanted a physical, which I think is still in its cellophane.
Really?
Yeah.
Just to hold on to.
Just to have.
You're the statistical anomaly.
I am.
That's what it is. Although I do have a digital and physical version of Fallout 4.
Right.
So before we continue, we should say that... That like there are, I do see the positives to it.
Mm.
Like before we even talk about the rumor.
No, I do.
Like Fallout 4, for example, is the only game I've ever pre-ordered and pre-loaded as well. Because I think pre-loading is a really good idea wherein you pre-order a game digitally and maybe a week before release, they let you download the full game and it unlocks at midnight at release. So you can just play it immediately. That's a brilliant idea. Mm. I think that's great. And You know, streaming wise, we've got some things to read in a second. I don't know about moving fully in the direction of streaming. I think it'll get there eventually, but it's a long way off. But in terms of having a console that's digital games only, so you can still download games to it, it just doesn't take discs anymore. Mm-hmm. That's a weird half step, and it has been done before. And again, we'll talk about it in a minute.
Yeah.
First, though, we go to the Evening Standard, which talks about the rumor here about the Xbox One S, sort of a discless version coming. The Xbox One S, of course, is the smaller, redesigned Xbox One unit that supports HDR and 4K, among other things like that.
So
it's
just
kind of like the PS2 Slim and the PS3 Slim and all that sort of stuff. So the Evening Standard says, the new console, set to be called Xbox One S All Digital Edition...
Stop lengthening your names!
...would allow... Do you remember when they wanted it just to be called The One? That's why they called it Xbox. And then they just keep adding words to it.
Yeah.
Like its Xbox game... Sorry. ...would allow gamers to ditch discs and play completely digitally.
Hmm.
Fans would be able to buy games via a streaming platform like its Xbox Games Pass digital subscription to make gaming more like Netflix and Spotify, where no one really owns anything.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it does. It really... That's a sort of a negative spin.
Yeah.
One benefit of a discless console is that it would make it much cheaper. True. And that is true.
Mm, yeah.
You know, you need to have less parts, fewer parts in it.
And fewer parts... to break down as well once you've paid for it.
It'll be quieter, it will be faster, it should technically be cheaper.
Mm.
But by the same token, digital games are expensive.
Yeah.
And there are sales quite a lot, but you know, some games, their prices just don't go down. And when you're pre-ordering, you can get a physical game for 40 quid and a digital one, you're looking at like 60 at least, just as a baseline level.
It's weird. I would have thought that digital would be cheaper.
Well, yeah, there's no overheads. It's because they can dictate the market.
Well, yeah.
That's why. And it's messed up because it should be cheaper because there's far fewer costs involved. Last year, news leaked that the global tech company was working on a new project codenamed Scarlet. Not Captain Scarlet,
no.
Which is what I thought it was, which was Xbox's version of a game streaming platform. Microsoft's gaming head, Phil Spencer, hinted something along these lines at the company's E3 conference in June, saying, our cloud engineers are building a game streaming network to unlock console gaming on any device.
Mm.
In a recent interview with GeekWire, Spencer added some more weight to Xbox's cross-device plan, saying, we want to bring Game Pass to any device that somebody wants to play on, not just because it's our business, but really because the business model allows for people to consume and find games that they wouldn't have played in any other space. So not only is there potentially going to be this Xbox One S all-digital edition, but also they want to bring this streaming ability to any device, which we have seen before as well.
Yeah.
PS4 has had remote play for a while. So has the PS3 as well.
PS Now, yeah.
So it's you could stream. And I think they've just introduced it actually to iPhones and the like, where you can use their newly released app this week, actually.
Right.
Where you can just stream your PS4, what your PS4 is doing and use virtual buttons on your phone.
Weird.
So it is possible.
The thing with the streaming thing, I can see more benefits to that. I think having a discless console, all you're basically doing is, I know we say like it's probably going to be cheaper to build the console and that's good and it might not break down as much, but what you're really doing is saying no more boxes for you. Like there's not that many pluses to it, but at least with streaming it, one positive is that the game itself is not being run from your console. In fact, you might not have a console. Basically, like you need a device that can receive the stream.
Yeah.
So as a result, I mean, PC gaming is, you know, that's built entirely around like crafting the best possible rig and like, oh, here's my really expensive set of components.
Yeah.
If the game is being streamed to your home, you don't need a super expensive, like, flashy machine. And that's really where it comes into it. So.
That's what OnLive was about as well. OnLive was basically just a little Wi-Fi receiver that, as long as you had the internet to do it, you could just stream games directly to it. They're being run somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it comes directly to you. So, yeah, it is. It's two different things here, really.
But then not the only downside, but one of the biggest downsides is, number one, you need to be connected to the internet in order to play your game. You know, if you're paying for the service or paying for a game, if you can't get connected, or if you don't have fast enough speed, you're going to have issues with it. I play PlayStation Now. This was a while ago. I know you played it more recently, haven't you? I think you said
PlayStation
it,
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I accidentally bought a subscription to PlayStation Now when I was trying to get PlayStation Plus, which is not one of my greatest moments.
But you said it's improved a bit, hasn't it?
So I have a real issue with the games that they offer. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's just not enough there.
Yeah.
And it's just not worth it for that price alone. But the only way I could get it to run was in the Yogscast offices.
Right.
On, you know, our powerful editing PCs.
Mm-hmm.
Not that, you know, the power of the PC has anything to do with it, but I just mean, like, it was an expensive computer and it was really fast internet. And even then, it stuttered from time to time and it wouldn't let me play certain things.
Mm.
But when I was at home, it just didn't work.
Like,
it would not let me start up. OnLive was pretty good because, and I think it probably differs from service to service.
Mm-hmm.
OnLive was quite good because it would just downgrade the quality of the stream that you were getting just to make sure that you could actually play it.
Yeah.
Whereas PlayStation Now has like a baseline test it does, and if you don't pass it, it just goes no.
Right.
It just won't even let you play it.
I must be thinking of someone else. Someone I spoke to said they played it recently and they thought at least the latency wasn't as bad in terms of you know, the input output delay. But certainly I played it. It was probably about a year ago now. I played BioShock 1, I think.
Okay.
And yeah, I noticed like a bit of a delay in sort of my inputs and like what I was getting back from the stream, and so. You know, that's the big drawback, is if you don't have a fast enough speed, or indeed if you live out in the sticks, like I was living for 6 months when we were at Vidius, I just wouldn't have been able to play. If we were in a world from, you know, in 10 years' time, the theoretical world where everything is streamed, then I wouldn't have been able to play video games at all.
Hmm.
And that's a massive negative in my view. Some people... It's sort of this idea that, like, oh, well, we're all on the internet now, aren't we? Well, we're not actually all on fast enough internet.
Sometimes, especially with, like, single-player games that shouldn't require internet access to play. You know, again, this brings into another element, which is a little while ago with this sort of harmful DRM and things like that on PC, where
always
it's like,
online.
I want to play my single player game. No, you have to be online. You have to be signed
in. SimCity or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
When you're playing, like, single player.
People don't want that. And I believe that there will always be some kind of avenue for people to play their physical games in some manner or another.
Mm.
But moving away from streaming and moving to just a console that doesn't take physical discs. You can download stuff to it, but you can't, you can't put your existing console games into it.
Right.
The PSP Go was a short-lived experiment by Sony,
mm-hmm.
just to see if people would be up for, again, like just a handheld that doesn't take the cartridges that the PSP runs on. Or they weren't cartridges. They were these stupid disc things. But that's just what PlayStation
really
did.
Angry about this. God.
Well, the thing is,
disc
I bought a PSP Go,
mm-hmm.
and I really liked it because I knew what it was.
Yeah.
And I wasn't falling for anything. I already had a library of games that I had bought digitally, in particular PS1 classics that I'd bought.
Yeah.
And I was able to basically have this amazing little PSP thing that folded up and had the controls underneath. It was a really nifty little device, and I could play all of my favorite PS1 games on it.
Yeah.
And for that, it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But I do appreciate that, you know, some people want to be able to play their physical games on it.
Yeah.
Obviously, with this console, it's not exclusively streaming games to it. I imagine that'll be an option and that'll be a big aspect.
Yeah.
But if your internet goes down and you've got a game downloaded to it, you can still play that.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah.
Which is a good compromise. And I think, well, this is clearly not a gamble, but this is sort of testing the waters, or at least Microsoft testing it out and seeing what people are, how receptive they are to it, really, before, because it's going to go that way.
Yeah.
We're going to get Netflix, but for games. It's going to happen. Like,
we should be
properly.
Grateful, really, that this intermediate step is even being considered. And, like, you know, because, I mean, I've got something here that I think I mentioned on a video or a stream previously from Yves Guillemot from Ubisoft.
Mm-hmm.
He's the CEO. He did an interview with techspot.com, and he's quoted as saying, game streaming will replace all gaming platforms, he thinks, after the next generation.
Could happen.
He reckons that everything will be streamed after PS5 generation.
Yeah.
And, you know, he calls it platform agnostic gaming.
Wow.
Which is a strange thing. And I guess you also have to... He makes a point where... Does it call into question the idea of exclusives and things? Because you don't have a console. Like, how are consoles... How is it going to be handled in terms of what are Sony and Microsoft going to do differently? Are they are they still going to be have their own streaming services, and will you have exclusives on those streaming services? Or do you think, like, in 50 or 100 years time, there'll just be one giant monopoly service that's providing all of the gaming?
I think at some point someone's going to step in, either the big three get together and just agree, look, let's put out this machine that lets people stream. We'll just focus on making games for it.
Yeah.
Or, as you said, there's going to be this massive multi-corporation at some point. It's kind of like...
It's very speculative, but yeah.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like the South Park episode where people come through from the future and they're all just sort of like this sort of tanned color.
Right.
They're all hairless. Yeah. And that's just what the human race looks like in like a million years, because everyone's just like... That's all the races have combined.
Yeah.
You know, no one's unique anymore. And that's, in a very weird way, it's a weird analogy.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where it's going, in that there will be a point, probably.
Well, because we're already doing cross-platform play, aren't we?
Well, exactly. Yeah. I would be amazed if at some point someone doesn't come out with a console that just plays everything.
Yeah.
And you have a PlayStation bit, you have an Xbox bit, and you have a Nintendo bit.
Mm-hmm.
It would be shocking to me.
Yeah.
But I think that's a little way away. The thing I'm interested in is who's going to be the first person to make that leap, because I have a feeling, much like, not that it affected them really, the decision to get rid of the headphone jack on iPhones.
Yeah.
Whoever does it first is going to get so much slack that their competitor needs to say is, you can still use discs
we
on
still
ours.
Have discs,
and
yeah.
people will go, ah!
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real gamble. If they don't just come together and say, look, let's not try and dick each other over here.
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing this or are we not? Then someone's going to go first, and it could potentially be a platform-destroying decision.
Yeah, it could be.
Because people... It's where it's going, but people don't want it on the whole, don't think.
I don't want it.
I don't want it yet.
No.
I still like the idea of having physical games.
Yeah. Even outside of that, I don't like the idea of always having to be online to play. So,
but even so, let us know in the comments below what you think of not only games just being streamed exclusively, or of a discless console, sort of a physical media-less console that only takes downloads.
Yeah.
And if you think this Xbox rumor is true at all. It sounds like it pretty much is.
Yeah.
Probably be announced at E3. Oh, by the way, EA have said they're not having an E3 conference this year as well as PlayStation.
Brilliant.
So E3 is it's looking good.
Yeah. Is anyone going to be there?
Nintendo won't be
Nintendo won't be.
It's just Microsoft.
Yeah.
With
their discless console.
Oh, God. Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention, actually, before we wrap up. It's really weird. So when you open YouTube on your phone, and you've got YouTube open on your TV, especially if you've got it open on a console, it can recognize if it's open, and you can press a button on the YouTube video you're watching on your phone to like connect it to your console or whichever app is connected to the TV.
Right.
And it'll just play the video.
Okay.
Which is a cool function that I don't use very often, but you know, if you've got something specific on your phone, like someone sent you a link and you want to open it without having to search for
it, TV.
It's really good. So I tried to do that the other day, and it didn't. It said connected, and then I tried to do it, and it didn't work. Oh, okay, that's weird. And so I closed the app, reopened it, and did it again. It connected, and then it worked. But then, like a minute later, I got a text from my friend in London saying, "How did you just put a YouTube video up on my PS4 then?"
What? Is it because you were logged in on his PS4?
Well, no, because there's no login at all. It's meant to just detect what's... I don't know how it works, but you don't have to, like, enter a code or connect it in any way. He's in the other end of the country, happened to be watching YouTube at the same time as me, and it just connected to... Clearly, I've done it. I've done the cast thing to his PS4 before at some point.
He must have said that it was you if he needed to contact you as
well.
It was
a triple jump video.
Oh, I see.
It was a triple jump video that I wanted to watch because it hadn't gone out yet. And I just wanted
to see
it.
Wasn't some really horrible, like, softcore porn on YouTube.
Really horrible softcore porn.
Well, there's probably, you know, just like,
no,
well,
I agree.
Not really weird stuff. Someone walking in a cake or something like that.
Could have been, yeah, everybody loves that.
Yeah.
Could have been like a personal family video or something like that. But yeah, that was... I don't know how that happened or how that even works. I'd like to think it would only ever potentially connect to things that you've connected to before, not just random strangers' consoles that live nearby. But this guy lives in London.
Everyone in your
it's
building.
Like a 4.5 hour drive away.
Triple jump on that. We should do that. That's how we get our videos out. Just drive around Newcastle.
Just broadcasting it to different things. Yeah, anyway, I just thought that was insane. And I couldn't believe that happened. It was mental.
There's a guy doing like keyhole surgery, surgeon. It comes up on his screen as he's trying to.
Ooh.
Remove the bullet.
This is a fun video.
From the guy in California who was trying to sleep. God, it's all come full circle.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's it. That's our podcast.
That's the podcast. Peter, where can they find us should they want it?
You can find us almost
Sorry, I keep whacking this.
Hello?
Yes?
You can find us almost everywhere at Team Triple Jump. That's on YouTube, on Twitch, on Twitter, on Facebook. Huh? You can also go to Team Triple Jump on Patreon, where we have all kinds of rewards at different tiers. Yes. You can do things like see Worst Games Ever 2 days early, and you can submit questions to the podcast. Mm-hmm. You can also, if you're a patron, go to an exclusive room in our Discord, which is bit.ly/Team Triple Jump.
Yeah.
Finally, there's a website.
Yeah.
It's triplej.mup. That's tripleju.mp.
We're taking video editor applications at the moment.
We are.
So go have a look on there and see if anything strikes your fancy. And if you're watching the video, play.acast.com/s/triplejump. It's not the best link in the world, but that's how that's sort of the direct hosting website for the MP3 of the podcast. It'll be in the link below. Mm-hmm. And if you just search for us on your platform of choice, we may just pop up. So that might be the way to find us, really. Finally, lists. They're every Tuesday and Thursday. Streams, they're every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Worst Games Ever. It's a Worst Games Ever week. So for those of you watching / listening to this on the Saturday that this comes out, for patrons, it went out yesterday, Worst Games Ever. And for the rest of you, it's out tomorrow on Sunday.
Exciting.
So we hope you enjoy that. Podcast, of course, is every Saturday. You're listening to it. That's how it goes. And I think that's all, Peter.
That's all.
I think we did it.
Yeah.
Let me just shuffle my papers like an important man.
And VODs. VODs go out every few days.
Yes,
yeah,
they do. Sorry if they annoy you. We're not. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. And thank you for watching if you've done that too. Make sure you leave us reviews and the like on various podcast platforms. It really helps. And like, share, and subscribe. And let us know in the comments below what you thought of our various topics of conversation today.
Definitely.
Including the optimal placement for suction cup-based loot roll holders.
Submit your own questions for next week by going to Patreon.
Anyway, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thank you very much,
Peter.
You're welcome. Thank you.
See you next week, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.